Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. The elements are a metaphor, a simple organizational system to help us understand business and ourselves as business owners. And they are the components of nature, the roots of magic, and the building blocks of life. We all have some aspects of life and business where we thrive and others that are more challenging. By looking at these things elementally, we remove shame and judgment and can discern which elements would help us bring ourselves into balance. Earth, root chakra, Capricorn, Taurus, Virgo. Earth rules the parts of business that keep us safe and secure as we do our soul work. Sustainability, finances, contracts, systems, our core values, and clarity about exactly what our medicine is and how we fit into the ecosystem are governed by Earth element. Air, heart and third eye chakra, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Air rules our big vision, our ultimate picture of success. It's where we connect our medicine to a mission and decide what kind of impact we want to create during our time on this planet. Water, sacral chakra, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. This is the realm of our emotions, and business is emotional. How we feel about people, ourselves, visibility, uncertainty, how we handle stress and disappointment, all of this and more affects how you navigate your business. Water element is where we learn to resource ourselves and expand our capacity to hold the big feelings that come with doing our work in the world. Fire, solar plexus chakra, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Fire is where we take our gifts, our uniqueness, and our creations, and we blaze them out into the world. All things selling, marketing, and the day-to-day actions of running our business are ruled by fire. Too much fire and we burn out. Not enough, and our business never makes it off the ground. And spirit, crown chakra. Every good gardener knows the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Spirit rules the faith required to keep tending your business long before you've seen a single sprout of evidence that it's growing. No matter what you believe in, spirit element is what you travel through after you leap and before you land. Life thrives when all of the elements are in balance. So do you, and so will your business. To find out your dominant element, take our quiz at intuitiveedgecoaching.com/quiz. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. Welcome to today's episode. If you are new around here, I'm so happy that you found your way here. If you are returning, thank you, as always, for coming back. It always means so much to me. I know there's so many things that you could be listening to, so it means a lot to me that you return to this show. If you haven't yet liked or subscribed, that would really help. You can leave a 5-star review. You can engage with the Q&A on Spotify, and you can share this podcast with your friends. And those things all really help this show to grow. I'm really excited to share this episode with you because this conversation was really powerful and really important. Today, I'm bringing you a conversation with Brandon Evans, and you're going to hear Brandon's story, but the summary version is that Brandon was running big, successful tech companies in New York, and he realized that he was not on his soul path, and he ended up closing down his own companies, walking away from everything without knowing what he was going to do yet, to go and explore and figure out what his real calling and his real purpose was, and to dedicate himself to creating a business that was more reflective of his personality and his values and what was really important to him. And I think that this is so, so important. I would consider Brandon's choice to be what I would call a powerhouse move. And if you heard the episode last week, I introduced my brand new program, the Powerhouse Mastermind. And I just want to say a little tiny bit about it before we get into this episode. When I say that walking away from 7-figure companies to go follow your heart is a powerhouse move, that's the kind of move that a lot of people in your life would tell you not to make. It's the kind of move that doesn't make sense on paper. It's the kind of move that would inspire fear in anyone because it's scary to walk away from money and security and success and the things that we know other people look at and value and say, that's what you should want, that's what you should be doing.
but to recognize in yourself when the things that you are doing are not aligned with who you want to be in the world. They don't drive you from within. They don't make your soul feel alive. And to choose to walk away from them in favor of doing what feels good to you, what feels right, what feels empowered, what feels aligned to you, that is a powerhouse move. That is making your body and yourself the home of power in your business and in your life. And that's what we're going to be exploring in the Powerhouse Mastermind. We're going to be looking at ways that we give our power away. We give our power away to authority. We give our power away to money. We give our power away to followers. We give our power away to what other people think of us, and returning that power to ourselves, to our inner knowing, and experimenting and exploring with what our life and our business looks like when the ultimate power, the ultimate authority in what we're going to do comes from within us and not from what we think everyone else wants us to do or thinks we should do. Those are powerhouse moves. If this feels interesting to you, I would love for you to apply for this very first beta round of the Powerhouse Mastermind. We're not starting until June, but the application is open now, and it's at intuitiveedgecoaching.com/powerhouse. I'm going to leave a link for that in the show notes. If you feel inspired by this, but also scared, and the idea of walking away from certain things that are going well for you or changing your life in big ways in order to follow the things that really truly light you up and make you happy, or to figure out what those things are, then Powerhouse is the place to be, because you will be so supported in the process of doing that. My last little announcement before we get into the show: if you are at an earlier stage of your business, if you're just starting out and you also would like to make a powerhouse move, but you're not an established entrepreneur yet, I highly recommend joining the Elemental Entrepreneurship Coven before April 30th. A powerhouse move that I'm making right now is that on April 30th, the doors to the coven are closing, and I do not know when they will be opening again or if they will be opening again. There is a possibility that I will not reopen these doors. So everyone who's in on April 30th is who's in. This is the most affordable, most accessible way to get coaching from me, to get my eyes on your business, to get my help with your plans, with your copy, with your strategy, with your launches, with all of the nuts and bolts of building your business. But you will also get my coaching, my guidance, my support on the inner game that you need to be mastering to build a business and to make some of the changes that you need to make in your mindset, in your belief system, in your way of being in the world, to make a transition, say, out of a day job and into being a full-time entrepreneur. And those are the types of things I will help you with inside the Elemental Entrepreneurship Coven. So again, you have until April 30th to get in while the getting is good, and I will leave that link in the show notes, but it is intuitiveedgecoaching.com/coven. All right, those are all of my announcements. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Today on the show, we are in for a treat. I am so excited to introduce you to Brandon, the founder and chief elevation officer of One Heart. Before One Heart, Brandon's path of building large tech companies in New York led him to financial success, but lacked greater meaning, fulfillment, and joy. When his article, Lost on Purpose, unexpectedly went viral, Brandon was called to serve all those with similar stories reaching out for support. Brandon founded One Heart to create new paths for leaders seeking more fulfillment and purpose-driven lives. By elevating the consciousness of powerful leaders, their contributions create greater positive impact, harmony, and balance in the world, which you know we talk about all the time on this show. We need the heart-centered people doing their heart-centered work. That's what we're here to be doing. In its sixth year, One Heart's 8-week Living Beyond program, which includes a 1-week retreat with ayahuasca in Costa Rica, has served nearly 1,000 leaders. One Heart is known for its deeply integrated and holistic offering and inspiring community.
OneHeart combines top facilitators across modern and ancient modalities to support physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being via a highly curated, best-in-class program. Brandon lives in Costa Rica with his wife, Jeanette, and their recently born daughter, Spirit. Congratulations. Individually and together, they lead retreats and create experiences that support others in creating lives fully aligned with their soul's calling. I'm so excited to talk with you today. Brandon, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Excited to do this as well. Thank you for the work you do.
Oh, it is a great honor and a great joy. And then I think I did something wrong. Okay, there we go. Now we're good. So I read your bio, but I would love to dive in. I want to hear this story. So you're in New York building tech companies, which is very opposite to the life you're living now. So talk to me a little bit about where you were and what was going on and when you started looking around and being like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can start kind of with that moment and work my way through. A little before that moment, I had built one company. We sold the company to a large conglomerate. And before really any transition, I spun off a company right before the sale and raised a bunch of money for that company and built that very quickly in a couple of years to about 100 employees. And had raised about $15 million at that point. And my investors started coming to me wanting to raise more money. The company was doing well, it was growing fast. And there was just continual knock on the door. What's next? How are we building this even bigger? And it was really at that moment my heart kind of sank. And I realized I didn't have much more of this left in me. And the thought of raising another huge sum of cash and dedicating many more years of my life to this. I was, mid-30s at the time, thinking about, turning 40 and when it was that I would actually get to the work that I really wanted to do, work that, really touched my heart. I didn't know at the time what that was. I just knew it wasn't what I was doing. Around that same time, I was in a marriage that I wasn't fully connected with and living in New York which I loved for many years and just kind of had grown apart from it. And so I was kind of in this space of like kind of feeling like I was in the wrong place in kind of all different aspects of my life, really not feeling the joy and fulfillment. I had checked all the boxes, nice condo in New York, great wife, having success, building great companies. Our companies had amazing cultures. And so, really checked a lot of these boxes, and yet there was something deep missing. And my investors kept knocking. I kept kind of putting off the fundraise, and eventually I was fired from the company that I had started as they wanted to, scale this a lot larger and raise that money. And so that kind of began my search. And around that time, I was introduced to ayahuasca. And even prior to that, I had a lot of spiritual curiosity, and I studied Kabbalah and read a lot of books and was always drawn to it. However, it was very much an intellectual exercise. So I was always, learning and growing in that way, yet, still very much in my head as to what to do, how to plan things out, typical kind of startup mode of like having all the plans beforehand, the business models, which end up going by the wayside in startups anyway, but really very much kind of in that space. And with ayahuasca, for the first time, I really connected much more deeply to my heart and my intuition and started really feeling into what it is that I wanted. And that led me on a path really for a couple of years of just exploration, of travel, of more plant medicine, of a lot of other modalities and programs, and just really growing and learning about myself. And through that experience, I shifted many aspects of who I was and my life, and was feeling in a really good place. However, I felt like most of those around me didn't really understand who this new Brandon was. I mean, people saw me as, you know, this guy that walked and talked fast in New York and was constantly building things and pushing. And that really wasn't who I was, at least not who I wanted to be. And I decided and began writing this article called Lost on Purpose, really first and foremost to kind of explain to myself and to others around me who it is that I was and the journey that I've been on. And I was very hesitant to post it. I'd never written anything personal before. I'd done a bunch of business writing and just ended up posting it on Medium on my 40th birthday. And it was the first article I'd written. I had no following at the time. And it very quickly went viral and had like tens of thousands of readers and had a lot of people writing me in the comments or messaging me saying, this is my story, this is my story. And, you know, what they generally meant by that was a lot of high performers, a lot of people who had, you know, followed the programming that they felt was the formula for success, whether that be given by society, by their parents, by their friends. And really didn't know where to turn. And so that just kind of clicked a light bulb in me, like, how can we serve these people? And that's really where One Heart was birthed. At the time, I certainly didn't know much about this, you know, this world. I had a strong calling and passion and desire to figure it out and to create something that would really allow, especially leaders, knowing the impact that a leader can have, whether it's, you know, and how they treat their employees or what they're creating in the world, or, you know, just the practices that they put forth. How can we help them to create that world, help them help themselves first and foremost, and bring that forth into the world? And so that's really was kind of the beginning of One Heart.
I love this so much, and I have a ton of questions. So I want to first, if you know it, astrologically, do you know your sun, moon, and rising?
Yes. Well, I'm Leo, sun, rising is Cancer, and my moon, I'm blanking on it right now, but I know I believe it's another fire sign.
Interesting. I love this. And then also, I love to ask, do you know your human design? Is that a system you've checked into?
Yeah, I'm a generator.
Okay, love it. Sacral?
I don't know that.
Okay. There's like the sacral kind where your gut yes, no is your thing. And then there's the emotional kind where you have to wait until you've like written out your emotional wave.
I would say probably the gut, yeah.
Got one, yeah. So I ask these questions because first of all, I think like my audience loves to know these things about people. And they're like, oh, what a Leo way to do things. But also I think the human design is so interesting. Because I do feel that human design gives us such insight into how we make decisions and how we start to understand ourselves. And I want to dig in a little bit. You used the perfect phrase, which is I checked all the boxes. And before we started rolling, we were talking a little bit about how both of us work with a lot of clients who are in this similar position of, my life is good. Like, there's nothing wrong. I did everything I was supposed to do. I have the degree. I have a good place to live. I'm in the marriage. I have the kids. I drive the minivan. Like, I do all the things that I was promised would bring me fulfillment. And I think another thing that's important in that journey is that for a long part of it, we're just so busy doing those things, like accomplishing, checking those boxes, that any dissatisfaction we might feel can be chalked up to, well, I'm working really hard and I'm not where I want to be yet, so that must be the dissatisfaction I'm experiencing. And so when you hit that point where you're like, all right, I've done all the things I'm supposed to do. Now is supposed to be the time that I look around on my life and I like master of all I survey. And I just feel this deep and profound satisfaction. And I'm like, see, I've done it. And what we find instead is like, oh, I built a life, but I don't think this is my life. Mm-hmm. And that can be so disorienting, mm-hmm. and so painful. And for many people, so confusing that mm-hmm. people can stay there for years because they don't exactly recognize what it is. And I think that is what leads people, like, instead of to let me leave the country, broaden my perspectives, try sitting with plant medicine. And I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way, but it tends to lead people into a therapist's office and an antidepressant because they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but I feel bad. So something must be wrong with me, as opposed to, oh, like my emotions are alerting me to the fact that something in my life is off balance and I need to attend to that. And so I guess I'm curious for you, and I was going to ask this already. I'm glad you already shared. You were already kind of a spiritual seeker as a personality. What, like when you started having that realization, were you scared? Were you sad? Like how, what did you go through to allow yourself to even admit, I've invested all these years in this and I don't think I want it?
Yeah, I mean, I think... I think it gets to a point where there was no, I felt like there was no other place to turn. There certainly was a period where it was, I loved my company. I mean, as far as like the people there, I mean, I just built an amazing culture. I didn't want to let anyone down. So there was a lot of like fear of like leaving that for sure. And then even earlier in my career, I mean, it was always, there was no break between anything I did. I mean, even with like, we sold a company and I literally was already, starting the other company. So I'd never taken any of these breaks. It was always like, oh, you know, seeing people travel or I should be doing that or like take a few moments to figure it out. And there was just always something within me that was like, no, if I like, you know, take this week off or month off or year off, like my whole career or my, is going to go the wayside. So, yeah, there certainly was a fear element in that, obviously leaving behind, what, the place you live, your partner, ultimately ended up a lot of friends. It's not easy. And I feel like it got to the point where, it eventually became easier to make that decision versus to continue on with something that I knew could not bring me the type of fulfillment that I was looking for.
How did you handle that fear as it was coming up of like, I'm going to lose people, I'm going to let people down? What tools were you using to help you navigate that?
At that time I had started coaching. I was working with a coach that was really supportive and understanding and had both like kind of the business path and was spiritually connected. So that helped. I was also, as I mentioned, I was sitting Kabbalah and had a teacher there. And so, it was really leaning into some of the curiosities there. And then when ayahuasca arose in my life, I feel like that gave me a bit of the turning point because I started to be able to see different perspectives, started to feel really connected to something greater than myself, started to feel, trust more in the universe in a greater power and just really feel that connection deeply. And just started, to have more of a knowing that I had to follow, what I was feeling and not just, keep doing.
Yeah, I love this. Shout out to the coaches and the mentors and the teachers, man. I'm always on here telling everybody, if you're listening and you don't have a coach, you don't have a mentor, that like, I've had some people be like, well, what do coaches do? Why do I need one? And I'm like, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. You think that everything in your mind is pretty normal. And sometimes just having a conversation about your feelings with someone outside who has the skills to be like, that thing you just said right there, let's talk about that. Let's pull that apart. What does that mean to you? Like, it's so critical and valuable to have that outside eye on the inner workings of our minds and hearts.
Yeah, you're very much in the echo chamber. I mean, I was in New York and my friends were, a lot of like startup guys and, you're in this hustle and bustle and you don't really have, I didn't really have those conversations. I didn't really know where to go. So you really need, some contact with another perspective in order to really see there are all these other options out there. And this is something I do the interviews for just about everyone that comes on our journeys. And, you know, I hear this story so many times. And, you know, most of the people that come on our journeys, I would say about 80% are first-time ayahuasca drinkers, many first-time to psychedelics, very much achievers in some area of their lives. And they're just not in that world. You know, even, you know, they could be living in LA and they still have, you know, or places where it's prevalent, and they're still often, you know, not fully tapped into people who maybe think a little bit differently, who have had success, however we define that, in different ways. It's just very much programmed to us, like, we got to achieve in school, we got to get to a good college, we got to get the right job, you know, in building businesses, we got to raise money from the right people, and we got to keep raising money and keep raising money. And there's just this hamster wheel that's never ending. And if you're in that, it's very, very difficult to see your way out of it, unless you do something that really pulls you outside and allows you to see other perspectives.
Yeah. And there are, you know, there are a lot of things that can pull us outside and broaden our perspective. One of them is travel, right? Just getting out of the United States. When I was younger, I traveled a lot more. I had a different career and a different life where I toured as a dance teacher, and I was all over the world teaching dance, and it was very good to me, and it afforded me travel I never would have been able to afford in my 20s if I didn't have this opportunity. But in all these countries I would go to, the funniest thing to me, well, not really funny, it's kind of sad, but like everywhere I went, people was like, so America, why do you guys work so hard? And I was like, okay, how much time do you have? Like, I can tell you, but like, it's gonna look like we gotta really break some stuff down. And going, just being in other countries and being like, oh, what's normal here? Our normal is not the only reality that exists, right? So travel's really valuable for that. And then, you know, talking to people who are outside your immediate social circle and your family, hugely valuable. And then, as we've been talking about, plant medicine can be hugely valuable. And so, was ayahuasca your first psychedelic experience?
It actually was, yeah. Okay.
And so, do you have a synthesized version of like that first plant medicine experience, the takeaway that was the biggest shift for you?
Yeah, I mean, I very much did it in a way that I wouldn't recommend now, which was I heard about it from someone I trusted, and as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, 2 weeks later, I was in a yoga studio in Brooklyn, and sitting in my first ceremony. Thankfully, the shaman there was highly trained Peruvian shaman, and it was a well-held ceremony. And, you know, after ceremony, went home and was in an Uber that got pulled over and back into my life. And, you know, it just wasn't really able to integrate it in the way that I know is super valuable now. Also, obviously, from having doing this work, just really understand the value of like getting away, doing multiple ceremonies, having a comprehensive program that really supports. And that ceremony was obviously enough to get me here. What I really experienced in that ceremony, and sounds a little cliche, but was this overwhelming sense of oneness and connection to something greater. And, you know, I would say I always, you know, believed in a greater power for sure, and felt that. However, never experienced it viscerally to a point where it was just complete knowing. And, you know, that alone had, you know, and it was enough to really shift some thinking, to know that this was something I wanted to explore at a deeper level, to know that there was something beyond, you know, these material achievements that was really important. And so that really, really opened that up for me.
How beautiful. What a gift. Yeah. I also want to touch on, because I don't think that this can be overlooked, there's a gender component here that I think is really important, right? For you as a man, as a cis man, as a masculine presenting person in this world, in the tech world, in New York City, there is a lot of expectation about your values and what will be important to you. And that like money, career achievement, checking those boxes is a huge indicator of your status, your power, your masculinity itself. And so, as you were saying, right, like your community of people, they're like, what is going on with all this spiritual stuff? And like, what do you mean you're leaving your business? Did you grapple with trying to explain to men in your life specifically, like these realizations you were having that all of these external markers of success weren't the most important thing to you anymore?
You know, I think at the time I was just so aware that it was a different world, that I didn't attempt to do that too much with my existing, you know, I would say friend set and work set of people that I was around. So it wasn't a lot of like, I didn't feel the need to necessarily I guess I had a desire to communicate who I was for myself. That's where the article came from, and to kind of really reset that. However, it wasn't about like kind of convincing others around me. For me, it was like, okay, you know, what do I want to attract, and how do I kind of start to really tap into, you know, this knowing that's coming through pretty strongly. It's still, you know, as the article is titled, Lost on Purpose, you know, it still left me lost. You know, in the article, I talk a lot about, you know, loss being a desired state. I think we're afraid of being lost. However, if we're not lost, we're not going to find anything. We're going to kind of keep on some path, which is almost always someone else's path. And so the ability to be lost and to start to get comfortable in that and know that, okay, there is this world functioning in all these ways, and, you know, I've chosen and am choosing that is not the path for me for fulfillment. And so it was more of an opening, a curiosity, to really go and explore. And was fortunate at that point in my life to take some space to do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, One Heart has become so important, is like, it's very hard for people to find that space. And I think we've done a great job of, you know, compressing that into an 8-week program.
We froze there for a second, y'all. So if Brandon cut off mid-sentence, it's because we froze, but we're back. And so we were talking about the reactions of your community and the people around you. One of the reasons I asked about that is because I think that for other people who are going through this awakening, this transition, one of the things that is so scary is I'm gonna become weird to my friends. Like I'm going to, right, this thing about losing people and what people expect of us and how to navigate conversations if someone asks you, like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And like the fear that we can carry, we all, right, and this is not wrong. We want belonging and acceptance. We are hardwired to want belonging and acceptance. No one likes the feeling of, you know, these people in my life that I care about, whose opinions I value. Now I know that when I start telling them what I'm really doing, what I'm interested in, where my life is heading, our paths may diverge here. And that can be really scary. And contemplating facing down these conversations where our friends are like, so what are you doing? Can be really overwhelming. And so it's interesting to hear that you weren't getting a lot of those questions, or if you were, you didn't feel like you needed to field them that much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess part of that is I pulled away a bit and kind of went on my travels. I kind of went, and it was kind of a very transitionary period where I basically left New York and kind of started kind of a new life in Miami at the time. So I went to Miami and was able to kind of have more of a clean break from that, you know, in that sense. But yeah, I mean, that pressure was certainly present, and understood. I think it just was a place where, you know, I was at an understanding level that everyone's kind of on their own path and kind of fits in our lives at, you know, different points in time. You know, I think at that point I had been an extremely loyal friend and, you know, was very close with, you know, high school, college, you know, all of my friends. And it just was kind of clear that you know, there was a, if I was going to build this new life, if I really wanted to put my, the things I was wanting to put my energy into were not, you know, going out and drinking, you know, and getting drunk all weekend and then working 80 hours a week, that was clear. And so, it, you know, I just kind of naturally was seeking out something different. And people show up pretty quickly, you know, if you start to put yourself in those positions. You know, I think we really accelerate that with One Heart and just the family that people meet on these journeys. People stay so close, and it's such a big part of this experience. When these medicines, you know, traditionally have been done for thousands of years, they're done in tribes. They're done with your family. You're integrating in life with those people. And, you know, when we've westernized it, it's like, okay, I'll pop into a ceremony here. I'll go down to Peru by myself and come back. And that's very challenging. And so one of the big pieces of One Heart is to reinstall that community aspect to this experience so that you are supported, not just even in that 8 weeks. We have 12 local chapters that are doing events monthly. We have, you know, virtual groups and events. And so it's very important to, you know, if we're making shifts in our lives and there's new priorities, new interests, things we want to focus in on, you know, there is, you know, likely some people will fall out. I just experienced this on our last journey. There was a guy in New York and, you know, kind of similar thing. He just has all these buddies, and they're already starting to give, even before the journey, they're starting to give him shit about he doesn't drink as much and he doesn't do this, and and they're kind of on him on that stuff, and he's kind of already realized that you know is not what he wants to be putting his energy. And so you know, he had a lot of concerns about going back, and you know, how does he have these conversations, how does he have these shifts. Some advice I received from one of our shaman that he would always say at the end was that the people who truly love you will love you for who you are now, and those that don't will kind of fall out. And I think that's very much true. If people, especially with this type of work, I mean, there's, you know, when they, if you're a happier, more fulfilled person, you have more joy, you're more connected to the things in your life, and your friends are kind of not supportive of that, you know, it begs the question of, you know, what is a friend, and, you know, what are those people that I, you know, I want in my life that are going to support the best in me.
Yeah. And I think it's such a logical shift when we're removed from it. I feel like I have this conversation with people all the time, right? Like the people in your life who only want to be in your life contingent on you making them comfortable are not really your friend. Like you're their friend. They're not really your friend. And like we can see that when we're not in it. But I think that, right, like the scarcity and apprehension we feel when we're afraid of losing people is that's a child's place. Right? It's just like such an a gut level abandonment, like I'll be left with no one, which we know isn't true, right? It's not these people or no one, it's these people or everyone else. But I do think it's very normal to be like, oh my gosh, like what if I leave this group of friends and I don't find a new group of friends, or right? It makes sense that to have that fear of leaving relationships, that we will be left with nothing. But yeah. I want to talk about what you're doing with One Heart and the integration you're providing, because it was such a valuable and important distinction about the way these medicines are done traditionally versus the Western one. But before we get into that, since we've been kind of working chronologically, I would love to hear about the article going viral, because I think unexpected virality is such a roller coaster. So talk to me a little bit about, like, did you like wake up and check your phone and you had a zillion notifications? What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird balance, because I have this thing where, like, you know, with businesses and things I've done in my life, where I kind of have an idea when I'm doing something that it's going to be big. And I remember actually with this article, I think I was trying to reach out to Rolling Stone or you know, some big publication. I'm like, this is, you know, a pretty meaningful article, and no bites. So I'm just like, I'll publish it myself. And, you know, I didn't know how exactly that would translate into much. And then, yeah, when I started seeing people associating with me and the true me, So, I mean, when I posted the article, I was very scared. I was very, very like naked and just burying myself in this way. And, you know, it started with like obviously family and friends on Facebook, on Instagram, you know, just responding, and was pretty amazed by that reaction alone. And then, started to see, I mean, again, it was the first article I posted on Medium. I'm like, wow, like all these people reading this. And it was a 25-minute article. So definitely not standard content. Had no followers, and it just started, getting read and shared. And I had people like sending me, telling me that they sent, they printed out the article and like gave it to a friend. And then that person, came to me, and I was just like, wow, like this really did hit a chord. And, I had a feeling that my story, just looking at the world and, others around it, and seeing not a lot of contentment, not a lot of fulfillment in the people around me, that there had to be others. Yet I hadn't really connected with most of them or many of them prior to that point. So it was very much affirming to feel that and to experience that.
I love that. So let's get back into what you were talking about the way that ayahuasca is done traditionally versus how it's westernized. You want to share a little bit more about that idea?
Sure. In tradition, before Westerners were even visiting, this is something that existed within the tribes, and pretty much all tribe members would experience this often from young ages. And they would experience it together. And so it would be a part of their lifestyle. Obviously, whatever happened in their lives beyond that point, they were living together in community and had that understanding, had that connection to spirit and to this greater knowing. And so it's very different than someone who maybe like myself goes to a yoga studio in Brooklyn and is in an Uber that night and is back at work a couple of days later. And it's very hard because you have all these new realizations, you have all these things that are new and birthing within you, and you don't know how to express them. You don't know if they're normal. You don't know how to make maybe more of them, or where that leads, or what the next steps are. And so, really creating that was important. How do you recreate that level of support, of community? Because I think very much the outcomes of this work, I think if you're with a qualified medicine practitioner and held in a space that's held well, it's extremely hard not to have major breakthroughs through this medicine, and that's going to come. The question is, what do you do with those? How do you actually make life change? And, we see this as people go home and like they're hit with, the world hasn't changed. They may have changed, and the world around them, their families, their work has not changed. And there's specific challenges and things that arise. And without having that community, without having people to go back to or see others navigating that, it makes it extremely more challenging. And so, it was really important that we put together a comprehensive program. This medicine, it's a big commitment. It's not an easy thing for people to do. There's a financial commitment, a time commitment, and when you're doing it, like, how can you really get the most from it? That's really important.
Yeah. And so how do you answer that with your program in One Heart?
Yeah, so I mean there's a few ways. One, as I mentioned, when we started One Heart, I don't know that I had seen anyone that was doing kind of the before prep or the integration. And so that became a key pillar. So before the journey itself, one, we have a lot of materials that we send to people that really support them in some of the topics and things that are going to arise. Nothing specific really to the medicine, but things like surrender and what does that even mean, and getting into, some of these topics. And then we begin and connect everyone in for group calls. We also have what we call elevation groups. So we break the groups into smaller groups with elevation leaders that are alumni coming back to be in service. And so there's like this other level of support where they have a personalized elevation leader. They have a smaller group to share with. And then coming in, people are already very comfortable with and starting to feel, very safe in the container because they've met the staff. We've been interacting a lot via the channels, via the calls, and, being open and feeling safe is really a big piece of this work. The more open and safe we feel, the deeper we can go and the more vulnerable we can get, which creates a lot of the shifts. So it's, before it's really setting that up and that allowing people to really feel safe to be vulnerable and open. On the journey, we have an amazing team, just really heart-centered people that love doing this work and are doing this work themselves. You know, myself and most of the team were on a plant dieta in Peru recently. You know, we're going and doing the deeper work and bringing that back and really helping to serve others. We have a lot of programming outside of the medicine that people have massive breakthroughs from in different workshops we've developed around key themes to other modalities like breath work, Temescal, ice baths. And we leverage each thing to really build on what they're learning. You know, there's, you know, it's important like to get triggered, to get, you know, have different things come up, because that's really where we learn. If everything's just kind of this perfect situation and, you know, experience something, it's really how do you put that in action? So there's different things that come up that people are able to really experience and move through. Things that maybe they've been dealing with for 10, 20 years of their life, and all of a sudden they see it. They see that trigger differently. They're able to experience it differently. And then we also have Mike, who's one of my, you know, partners in these journeys and hosts with me. I mean, he coaches world champion athletes and CEOs around mindset and flow state technology and neuroscience. And so bringing that aspect into the work supports as well. We also added a functional medicine part as well recently, that people can actually see a functional medicine doctor virtually and really get a real view on their health, because oftentimes things like hormone imbalances and inflammation and other things can really affect our mental state, gut health. And so, you know, when you're able to combine that can really multiply the effects as well. And then post-journey, the integration really keeps people in this work, keeps people together, feeling supported in community. We get to see what each other are going through. People are extremely close at this point. Everyone knows each other inside and out, especially, you know, their elevation groups, they have buddies, roommates. So people are, you know, really tight, and they have all these other examples of how people are doing this work. So if someone's having a really tough time, you know, someone else may have just gone through that, or someone else may, you know, be having an amazing, you know, breakthrough that we can learn from. And so, you know, that aspect of it is really important. And then our integration program really focuses a lot on creating, kind of new operating systems. So I call myself a recovering type A. And I would say a lot of the people that come on our journeys are recovering type A, or are type A's. And so how do you continue to create in this world without it being the constant push, 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 goal, 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 never celebrating ourselves? And so we create some frameworks and ways to codify really what we've learned, what our highest self is sharing with us, so that, you know, when that, you know, that naturally fades, we have that really documented well, and we have specific processes and ways to bring that forth in our lives on an ongoing basis.
This is all so beautiful. I'm genuinely just want to share, like, I'm impressed and heartened by, like, when a lot of people use the word holistic, right? Like, when they're like, our program's holistic, and you're like, well, it's two areas, or like, you know what I mean? But like, that you're getting into functional medicine and gut health and all of these things. When we're talking about our mental and emotional state, to get into neuroscience, the gut, not just like, you know, the community, the medicine, there's so many aspects, even to going into, like, if you're dealing with gut health and inflammation, the way any food or medicine impacts your body is going to be different than someone else, right? There's so much that goes into, I know we as humans don't like to admit that we're just like little complicated houseplants, like little walking chemistry sets, and that like there's a lot going on in there that can affect what we are perceiving as our mental and emotional reality. And so it's really cool that you are giving the participants in your program so many touch points to integrate the experience that they're having. Before we get into what you have coming up and where people can find you, we already highlighted something that, like, even as I'm about to say this, I feel myself getting really emotional because it's such an important piece. You had an experience where you were lucky doing ayahuasca in a yoga studio in Brooklyn. You were, as you said, lucky that the person who facilitated it turned out to be a well-trained person. And mm-hmm. while the integration on either end wasn't ideal, at least you had someone well-trained facilitating the actual experience, and the medicine you got was real medicine, right? Like, things happen out here that are really dangerous. There was an article in a podcast out, I believe it was through The Cut last year, about rampant abuses in psychedelic healing containers that started in my hometown in San Francisco. And there, it's really important, everyone listening, anyone watching this, people who are seeking psychedelic intervention tend to be, first of all, sensitive people, and many of whom are already in a vulnerable place. You're looking for something, and many of them are in pain in some way in their life, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for this shift in perspective, which means we're vulnerable. And if you go into a situation with someone that you perceive to be an expert and a guide, you are unfortunately at risk to being taken advantage of while you're in an incredibly vulnerable state, because your version of reality is melting around you. And there are unfortunately people out here taking advantage of people in this state, people using it for their own gain, people using it to prey on people. And even within the psychedelic community, there has been pushback against people speaking out against these abuses, because so many people are working to get these substances legalized, regulated, right? Like to decriminalize psychedelics for the uses of healing. And so there is, right, I just want to name that in our culture right now and in the world right now of people who are heart-centered, good people trying to advocate for the use of these medicines in safe interventions, there are people who are also taking advantage. And then there's a difficulty of like, if we let the reports and the allegations of abuse come out, we can set back our efforts to get these medicines regulated and more widely available. We're in an interesting in-between place with these types of medicines in the United States, right? Ketamine therapy is starting to be more regulated, more available, more legal. People are talking more and more about the use of mushrooms for post-traumatic stress. People are talking about Iboga for addiction, right? Like, we are starting to have conversations about how do we get some of these substances that other people have known for decades are valuable treatments for these conditions into the mainstream. And they're still not in the mainstream in enough of a way to make them sometimes dangerous. And so I guess what I want to get into is like, if somebody is looking for this type of experience, this type of healing, what are the things that you would tell them? Like, even if you're not coming to One Heart, here's what you look for. Here's how you vet. What would you tell people to look into?
Yeah, I mean, one is to really understand the practitioners, the medicine carriers, and what their paths have been. I've seen people serving medicine that haven't done dietas in Peru. I mean, I've done two, and I'm nowhere close to wanting to serving medicine. So, I mean, there's particular like training and like, you know, the people that are really serving this medicine. I mean, the carriers we have, I mean, they're spending months and years in Peru, you know, in huts with no water, no running water, you know, with themselves, you know, receiving this medicine, receiving the other plants and the knowledge that comes with that. And so that's a huge thing to really understand, like, what have these medicine people done to really train themselves and to be in service to others. And I think it's a huge red flag if they, you know, if you're serving this medicine and you don't, you know, for, you know, put yourself through that and want to do that in order to be a clear enough vessel, in order to be enough in the space to be able to bring this energy to others, there's a lot of you know, questions I would have. So that's, you know, that's, you know, one of the bigger ones I would say. The other, yeah, is integration. Like, how, you know, I've heard about you know, places, you know, people that didn't do integration because they wanted repeat customers, or, you know, it's like, you know, if you're not, you know, I tell people, like, I hope they never, you know, you don't necessarily need to do ayahuasca again. We don't allow people back in certain amounts of time. So it's like, you know, if you're doing this medicine, it's kind of like, you know, there's people that will maybe jump for the high. So you're, you know, and not in a traditional drug sense, but it's like the high of the breakthroughs and the insights. And that's beautiful. But if you're not integrating those, you're just creating this long checklist of stuff that is not integrated into your life and doesn't actually shift, you know, the quality and behaviors in your life. So integration is a huge aspect. And, you know, at this point, it's hard for me to understand You know, especially, you know, people that are more westernized, if they don't have a strong perspective and solution to how people integrate this work. And then, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I think just really also just really getting one, I mean, about 80% of people that come on our retreats are referred. So, you know, good referrals, going to something where you don't know someone that has been there is a lot more challenging. You know, if you have, I mean, sometimes when we have people that are not referred, I'll offer to put them in touch with people who have been on our retreats. So, you know, just really, you know, getting that feel and getting a feel for, you know, the people that are organizing this and running this and why are they doing this? And, you know, what is their calling and reason for this work?
That point about getting in touch with other people who have sat with the medicine carrier is so huge. And just like, yeah, like anyone that you're considering sitting with, if you ask, can I talk to other people who have sat with you before? And they don't say yes, maybe don't go. I think that's a really valid point. And I think I just want to throw in, and this is just my two cents. I don't know if you need to hear it, but if you need to hear it out there, you can leave at any time before you've taken anything. If you get somewhere, I've heard stories of people traveling somewhere, getting there and being like, the vibe was off, the communication was unclear, I felt uncomfortable, I had red flags, but I just kept going because everyone kept reassuring me it was okay. Always in life, but especially in any situation where there's going to be substances involved, your gut is the ultimate authority. And if there's a part of you that's saying, get out, don't do this, fuck the money. You can make the money back. You can always like get out if you need to get out. Don't sit if it feels wrong. Go somewhere else.
And I speak to people who, you know, it's heartbreaking for me every time I hear those stories, but I speak to people who've had that. And oftentimes, you know, it was 5-10 years ago and like they just now have the courage to come back to this. Maybe they've now been referred by someone and, you know, understand that there's a different experience, but this is something their soul was calling for 10 years ago. They were ready to, you know, make these huge shifts in their lives. And because of, you know, the container and the people involved, you know, everything's perfect, happens on schedule. And, you know, that's 10 years where, you know, they had, you know, very much kind of the opposite experience and reaction that they likely should have had through the medicine. So, yeah, it's super important. And, you know, something that, you know, also there's, you know, reviews. We have, you know, a third party site where people do reviews. We have a couple hundred on our website. Yeah, there's, you know, obviously different ways to really start to feel into what is it that is being offered. You know, even, you know, some Google searches, some, you know, just really trying to dig in, you know, make sure that the things are straightforward.
Thank you for getting into this with me. This is, you know, this medicine is so powerful and so important. This kind of work is so powerful and so important. And I feel like it would be irresponsible for us not to speak to that it takes a lot of discretion and judgment and discernment to find the right places to do it, because there are dangers out there, unfortunately, in every community, even the heart-centered ones. And I think that can be the hardest to accept and deal with for people who want to have this beautiful, loving, open experience, to be like, oh, unfortunately, in every industry, in every area, there are people who find their way in who have not the best intentions. And so I just want to make sure everyone out there, if you want this, that you're protecting yourself, taking care of yourself, and looking into programs like Brandon's where you're going to be well cared for. So tell us what's coming up next for One Heart. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. Oh, one more thing that just came up that I do want to share. I think another real watch out is this kind of is like a guru mentality. What I've seen is, you know, this medicine will either kind of break your ego down considerably, or in some, it can build it up. And, you know, people feel that they're called to do this and kind of jump right into it after a few ceremonies or what have you. And also from this medicine carrier that I was grateful that, you know, I really consider him our lineage to learn a great deal about. You know, he always said that the people, you know, he came into his work kicking and screaming. I would say in many ways that was me too. I had a lot of fear. I almost canceled our first journey in one of his ceremonies, actually. And then I spoke to him about it, and he was like, because of this, this is why you're the right person to do this. So the people that are, you know, doing this work should have, you know, a fear almost, and just kind of the responsibility that they hold and understanding what that means. The people that are really just kind of jumping into it as kind of a fun thing and putting themselves out as a guru, you know, those are ones to also really, really keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so what's coming up next for One Heart? How can people get in touch with you?
So next for One Heart, we have a journey, our 22nd journey that is kicking off on April 27th to May 4th. We also have a June journey, the 22nd to 29th, September 13th to 20th, and a journey over New Year's at the end of the year. So that's kind of the remaining journeys for this year for One Heart. We're also launching a new experience that we'll be speaking a lot more about publicly soon, that that my partner Mike has really driven forward and really is working with some other medicines, in particular heart medicine, which is kind of like a natural MDMA type medicine, and it's very outdoorsy and integrated, kind of an integrative experience that really allows you to find your center and really integrate that. So we feel like that's like a great kind of a opportunity for people that really want to ground in even further. And some other things that are bubbling up that aren't far enough along to speak to yet, but there's a lot that's being birthed and created right now, and it's exciting, and I'm also great with moving slow. It's the opposite of obviously the tech world and where I was at, and just seeing the importance of it. So we've really really haven't done, we've kind of kept it, these journeys and kept the focus on them, because it really took a long time to, just really wanted to continue to invest, to optimize, to really create the level of quality and consistency over and over again, before really trying to spread ourselves. But now we have such a team stepping up and so many people around us that things are just kind of birthing naturally.
Awesome. And where can people find you? Where can they reach you?
Yeah, oneheart.com. It's the number one, heart.com is our site. You can see the journeys and apply for the journeys there. We're One Heart Journeys on Instagram. I'm Brandon E on Instagram. And I'd love to connect with others that feel called to this type of experience.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Thank you for being here. Everybody go check out all of Brandon's stuff and go to Costa Rica if you feel called. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was amazing.
Bye.
That's our episode for today. Thank you, as always, for being here and for listening to the podcast. I know there are so many things that you could be doing with your time, so many things you could be listening to. It is an honor that you choose to be here. Connect with me on Instagram @IntuitiveEdgeCoaching. Have a great day.